Right. Good afternoon. We'll call the council back into session. It's now 1:30. Time for two public hearings this afternoon. We will ask our attorney, Mr. Griffin, to give you the procedure that we follow. I don't know if Mr. Schrader's knows how we, our rules or not. So then we will ask Mr. Griffin to lay out down the rules, and then we will start with the procedure. Mr. Griffin.
Thank you. When council holds public hearings on zoning matters, they're considered to be legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to decide whether or not to amend the zoning ordinance in the manner requested by the applicant. When each application is called, Mr. Lank will give us a report on what happened when the matter was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After that, the applicant will be, or their representative will be called on to make their presentation. After the applicant's presentation, council may have questions. After that, we will recognize any other persons who are here in support of the application, then any persons who may be here in opposition to the application. After all that has happened in that order, then council will decide what action they wish to take, if any. Typically, if the commission has deferred, council also defers. Any questions about the procedure? Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. Before I start the two introduction of the two public hearings, excuse me, we did receive a letter from Dennis Schrader on behalf of the applicant requesting that the two applications be combined into one presentation and acknowledging that the decision will be rendered individually. That's the way the commission reviewed the public hearings also.
Okay. Have a consensus. Nobody's got a problem with that. Proceed, Mr. Lank.
Okay, thank you. First application is change of zone 1605. It's an application of Nantego Properties, LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district to a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plan community, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for land lying southeast of Route 24, 2,400 feet southwest of Route 5 and Road 297, and to be located on 93.67 acres, more or less. The second application is change of zone number 1606, the application of Nantego Properties, LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a C1 general commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for land lying southwest of Route 24, 1,400 feet southwest of Route 5 and Road 297, and to be located on 15.73 acres, more or less. Just to note, that application was received prior to the amendment of the ordinance creating the CR2 ordinance. Provided to council or before the councilman is a booklet provided by the applicants to the Planning and Zoning Commission, exhibit booklet. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on February 8th of 2007. We reviewed the same exhibit booklet. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the applicant, on behalf of Randy Mitchell, on behalf of the applicant, with Dennis Schrader and Jason Pockowitz of McCrone Incorporated, were present and gave testimony. James T. Norwood was present and raised, not an objection, but did raise some questions. The commission, at the conclusion of the public hearings, did defer action on both change of zone 1605 and change of zone 1606 for further consideration. Today, I received two correspondence. First one through an email to the council's office, and it states, as a resident of the Oak Orchard area living off of River Road for 10 years, I am concerned about the increase in development along Route 24 in this area and the lack of safety improvements to Route 24. While it may not be the responsibility of the developer on this project to improve the roadway, the additional traffic from this development would only add to the very unsafe situation, especially with the rural farm store near completion. Route 24 does not have any designated left turn lanes or widened shoulders for passing. A past LDOT project proposal was to make east-west travel lanes with widened shoulders and designated left turn lanes. Given DelDOT's current situation, this will not come to fruition anytime soon. Council needs to take into consideration major roadway conditions, the additional traffic from more people, and the safety of its residents while traveling these roads before granting approval of additional development. That was signed or prepared or submitted an email by Laura McEwen of Gold Point. And lastly, I did receive today, dated February 19th, but received today a letter from the Office of State Planning Coordination. It states the Office of State Planning has received a letter from Jason Palkowitz of McCrone Incorporated containing the response to the Preliminary Land Use Service, referred to as PLUS, comments for the Nantego project located on the east side of Route 24 and south of Route 5. As noted in our original letter, this project is located within a level 2 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending, and in the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The state supports development activities that are sensitive to the natural environment and those that keep with the character of the area. And then there's a couple bullets. According to the letter from Mr. Palkowitz, the developer has revised the site plan to eliminate the 12-unit apartment building, thus eliminating the proposed large impervious parking areas for each 12-unit building. An updated site plan was not included with the response letter, so it is unclear if those buildings have been eliminated completely or just changed to a smaller number of units. The state continues to be concerned about the amount of impervious surface, and it is our hope that the site plan changes will reduce the impervious surface percentage. Second bullet states the PLUS application noted that the developer is planning 57.65 acres of open space in this development. Our letter dated 12/20/05 stated that 3.2 acres of the 6.6 acres of trees on the site are going to be removed, and asked that the developer reconfigure the site plan to preserve the wooded area in its entirety as part of the open space. Mr. Palkowitz responded that the site plan has been designed to preserve existing trees where feasible. Again, no new site plan was included with a response letter, so it is unclear if the site has been redesigned and if the wooded areas will be preserved. The state again urges the developer to consider saving the entire 6.6 acres of wooded area. In conclusion, the state does not object to the development of this property. However, the state would like the developer to address the above noted issues before a site plan is approved. And that was signed by Constance Holland, director. And that's all I have, gentlemen.
Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I'm representing the interests of Nantego Properties, LLC. Gentlemen, thank you for allowing us the privilege of consolidating applications 1605 and 1606. There are a lot of matters that are interrelated as to both applications, and this will make it easier for our for the presentation of the applications. I have with me this afternoon two representatives of the ownership group, Nantego Properties, LLC. They include Mark Handler and Randy Mitchell. To Randy's immediate right is Holly Hearn, who is with McCrone, and I have Jason Palkowitz, whom I'm real familiar with, Holly and Jason representing the design team. As you are aware, gentlemen, we have submitted books, which are somewhat smaller than I would like to submit for Mr. Cole, but they are books that do contain about 33 tabs that have various items of information in them that will relate to the points that we are going to be discussing for you today. I would like to draw your attention as we begin to two things. One of them is that as a result of the comments from Mr. Norwood and others at the public hearing held before the Planning and Zoning Commission, we're going to address a couple of those points as we move through the process this afternoon. The first of these I want to bring to your attention is that Mr. Norwood addressed the nuisance value of ATVs that are either in the adjacent area as it exists now or may exist in the project that we're proposing for the area. And as a result of that, the Code of Regulations, which is contained in your book that provides for self-governance and perpetual maintenance of the common elements of the project, will be amended to include a ban on ATVs. The second item I want to bring to your attention this afternoon relates to why John Ashman is here from the County Engineering Office, and that is that there is currently proposed an expansion to the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. That district, if it were to go forward, will be brought back to you sometime in the first week of March. Currently, it's been approved by the council by resolution that the County Engineering Department post notices of the expansion by March 5th, and around March 24th, public hearings will be conducted on the Oak Orchard expansion. And again, it's contemplated that the expansion will be brought back in for your final ratification during the first week of April 2007. The reason I bring this to your attention is that a large portion of this project shows on it a proposed wastewater treatment plant site. That wastewater treatment plant site was proposed by the design team back in 2005 when this project was originally being designed and when the application was made. Since then, and in particular during calendar year 2006, a lot of progress has been made towards getting the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District formed. My clients, the Nintego Group, have cooperated in that expansion and have agreed to be a part of the process and have made some agreements with the county concerning its financial contribution to the expansion, and that also is referred to in the book before you. The reason I bring this to your attention is that if we get through this process today, you're aware of the fact that the County Planning and Zoning Commission has not yet made a recommendation. Their 45-day period will expire sometime towards the second half of March. You're going to have this project to bring back up after they've made a recommendation, and the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District all in one sort of happy collision here in the council chambers. We got a design that says we're looking for a wastewater treatment plant, but we want to be in the County Sanitary Sewer District. A lot of what we're going to say today will result in a change of plans if the district goes through. And if the district goes through, we're looking at some significant redesign of the plant. As you're aware, the RPC is a preliminary site plan approval. We know that this is a problem, that, or at least a solution, is going to have to be brought to you on a redesign, and so does the County Planning and Zoning Commission. Having said that, I'd like to bring Mr. Palkowitz to the podium, and we'll go through some of the design and technical matters.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Jason Palkowitz with McCrone Incorporated.
And you are a professional engineer?
Yes, I am.
And you're licensed as a professional engineer in the state of Delaware?
That is correct.
If you would, please, could you describe for the council the assembled tracks that have been brought together for these two projects?
As you're looking at the color rendering, the northern, well, the upper part is the Davis track, and the southern part is the Norwood track.
Do you mind if I bring that closer? There doesn't seem to be a lot of people here.
Well, don't we have a picture of it in our book?
Is that all right, or do you want to?
Yes, if you turn right to the cover, there's a color rendering.
In front, you can move it up wherever you wish.
Right.
No, it can't be too far. You going tonight? You going tonight, right?
I'm going to Gumboro.
That's how I'm going.
7:30.
Dad Moss Rat.
That's fine. We got in the book, too.
You had Moss Rat.
Had a pass.
And greens.
That's all there are.
Sweet tail.
No problem. Stack the property fronts on Route 24. Oak Orchard Road is to the north side of that throughway development.
And the proposed uses for the two tracks are?
Commercial and MRRPC.
Jason, you need to get closer to the mic.
Sorry.
Not picking up. Thank you.
It is commercial, the front area, and the remaining part of the track is going to be residential.
And this was submitted to the Office of State Planning Coordination for review and comment. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And did you receive comments or a plus response from Connie Holland on this?
Yes, we did.
Connie.
I'm sure this one's working. Yes, we did.
And is that also in this book?
Yes, I believe that is. Our response is tab or figure 17, and their letter was the one before that.
And gentlemen, for purposes of your ease of reading this, this is set out in a fashion so that you will see the comments or text sent down by the plus review, and then there will be the response from Mr. Palkowitz in a different color. And I think also now, of course, we have the letter that came in later this morning from Connie Holland addressing the response to the original plus comments. Tell me what the significance was or were of the comments from Connie on the first review of this.
There were several items that they wanted addressed. One, as you may or may not be aware, just to the north of the site is a proposed commercial development that has a right-of-way through it, and they wanted us to redesign the commercial layout to provide access, which we did right here. They also asked us to revise the parking layout to get parking out of the setback, which we did. They asked us to provide right-of-way and an easement along Route 24 for widening and for the multimodal path, which we also did. And let's see if that's all of them. Oh, and there was a house on site that had some historic value, but we have a letter from the state stating that it was okay to remove the structure.
Were there any comments from DelDOT as a result of the application for this project?
Yes, there were.
And what did DelDOT comment on this project, and what was DelDOT expecting the developer to do if this project were to go forward?
Well, from the plus standpoint, it was the right-of-way and the multimodal path, and there was also a TIS prepared and approved, and I believe it's on figure 17. They wanted six items to be addressed. Excuse me, that would be 22. Sorry. There were six items that they wanted addressed, and there's like two or three pages of, it's right here in my little tab. Six items that they wanted addressed, and I don't know that I just want to read them all to you, but there's two pages.
But what tab is that?
I'm sorry, it is number 24.
Thank you.
They wanted turn lanes put in at the intersection of Old Orford Road, Mount Joy Road. They wanted separate turn lanes put in on Route 24, along with other numerous improvements.
In general terms, will these DelDOT improvements respond to Ms. McCown's email today?
Yes.
And how will that be helpful?
One of her comments was turn lanes, and that is specifically addressed as part of the requirements.
Mr. Palkowitz, I believe this project is also in an environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. Is there a document within this book that responds to the requirements of the county code on that particular issue?
Yes, there is. It's actually page 6 in the executive summary. There's the items are addressed. Items of note are the rare and threatened endangered species. Habitat review was conducted. They also worked with the state regarding the historical house that was on site. We are also providing stormwater management, which we have to as part of the code, but we are using BMPs and other water quality devices on site. Potable water is going to be provided by Tidewater Utilities. Our intent, as Mr. Schrader stated, was to tie to the county's sewer system, provide sewer for the site.
You mentioned the stormwater management. One of the issues that was raised, I believe, by Mr. Norwood at the County Planning and Zoning Commission hearing was stormwater management as it relates to the Indian Museum that exists at the corner. And if you would, please, could you address for the council how the stormwater management plan for this project addresses the Indian Museum and what the general flow is and where it would go?
Yes, I can do that. The site naturally drains from this corner back. The gentleman's was concerned was discharge of water towards the Indian Museum. Code requires that we try to bring, or we have to bring, the water to where it was going off-site. We can't bring water that way. First of all, the state's not going to let us, and the conservation district is not going to let us. And we wouldn't do that anyway because it wouldn't make sense. We'd have to bring water uphill to get it off-site. So our design has water going downhill to the ponds on-site. Currently, we're showing some infiltration ponds and some wet ponds on-site. If this wastewater treatment plant goes away, I would prefer to see another wet pond down there to help improve it.
Where are the 6 acres of that wooded site that they'd like to see preserved? And did you do any reconfiguring to preserve that 6 acres?
There's like a finger of some woods. I mean, if you look at the site, it's not the greatest woods in the world. We did pull some of the buildings out. We want to keep the pool house, and we can enhance the trees. Keep the pool house in that area if we can. There, this doesn't really show it as well. The plat is where the trees are. But yeah, we did pull a couple buildings out. I don't know if we reduced the impacts by a lot.
We are going to be planting trees around the perimeter of the site, and we're going to be have landscaping within the site.
There is obviously a difference in a natural stand of woods and your planting, so I can see understand the statement. And you couldn't reconfigure that to get save that 6 acres?
Well, I would love to. If we do tie it to the county sewer, we'll have 12 acres in the back that we'll be able to pull that out easily.
Yeah, but if you're not required to, you won't.
One left. I've been two so far. Anything else, Mr. Cole?
No, just curious. I just read that in here. I saw that.
In that regard, while we're talking about this particular topic, Jason, you want to describe the landscaping and buffers that will be used at this particular project and with the C1 use?
Yes.
A perimeter buffer is proposed around the residential portion of the site. Be vegetated to provide a buffer to both the residential and the existing agriculture use on site. There's a wide swath in here to separate the commercial and the residential. But part of our redesign, there was buildings in this area. We removed them to provide additional area for landscaping and buffering. There will be landscaping of the units. There's a detail in the book.
I'm not sure which number that one is either. I can look really quick. Showing a typical unit, that'd be figure 20. It's just a schematic showing trees and bushes around each unit.
In the same regard, when we go back and talk about the traffic circulation within this particular project and to adjacent roads, one of the comments that came out during the public hearing before the Planning Commission was the ability to integrate this site into either the Leighton Davis Road or the Reed Road or over the Reed property. If you can recall, can you describe what was proposed and describe why we can't get the job done that was suggested to us at the Planning and Zoning?
There was a suggestion to the right side of the rear of the property to connect to that, to leave a stub road to that parcel, and there was also a proposal to connect to the southern part of it to provide an alternate route for the residents not part of this community. The intent of this community, if you notice, these are all townhouse type units. They're going to have garages, but we also have to provide outside parking. We're trying to do that with the minimal land disturbance, so we're having parking along these drives. They're not intended to be thoroughfares or collector roads. They're intended to be quad. If you look at the layout, there's individual quads and layout, so that we're not looking to have a lot of high traffic or people driving through there, speeding through where people, you know, are going to have their townhomes. We did, however, as previously mentioned, provide a access to the commercial development to the north, which will connect up here, which will allow traffic to come to this commercial area without actually getting to 24. Commercial is where we provided the access, because that's where you're going to have the high traffic.
And am I correct, Mr. Falkowitz, that the only access to a public highway that these two tracks have is actually to Route 24, is that correct?
That's correct.
And
is
it also true that Mr. Norwood, the adjacent property owner to the rear for whom a stub street was proposed, does not want a stub street?
That is correct.
In fact, he was fairly adamant about it and ATVs and traffic and other things.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Yes.
If you will, would you describe the contents of the C1 site, which is located along Route 24, and what the proposed commercial uses of the property are?
This is the commercial area of the site. There's two out parcels shown here, anticipated one being a bank and one being a fast food restaurant. And the other is going to be a general commercial, which could have, you know, various uses.
Nothing specifically has been determined at this time on that, but it could be you know, clothing, hardware, any of those type of uses.
As it's currently designed, there would be general retail, restaurant, and bank. Is that correct?
Correct.
And,
yes.
And those could change as the design goes forward?
Yes.
And the traffic impact study was based upon the idea that there would be general retail, restaurant, and bank. Is
that is correct.
Okay. Is there anything, Dennis, to prevent the have you put anything in place, deed restrictions or anything on that site, so that it doesn't go residential?
To keep it from being residential?
C1. Once it gets the changes, and you know how it works, I'm just wondering, have you done anything?
We have not.
Have you proffered anything? Have you?
We have not proffered anything to keep it from going residential, but I can speak for the developers and tell you that I have
a strong feeling
that that front site will never be used for residential. Is that correct, John?
Well, that's good, well and good, but you know how things work. Is that you don't have anything other than they saying as long as they own it, it won't change.
That is correct.
That's not real good.
It is, after all, a permitted use, Mr. Coleman.
Okay.
According to PLUS and others, was this site encouraged for commercial?
Yes, as part of the investment level two, it is encouraged to have depart from the single family dwelling units and propose a broader mix of housing types, such as commercial. And that's right from there.
Yeah, would you please describe, for the benefit of the council, the parking on the C1 site and the parking in the RPC project?
Okay. Generally, the parking is designed to meet code. We're using diagonal parking in the commercial areas. And in the residential portion, we're having garages, driveways, and we're having off-street parking lots here and here.
While you're standing at the board, if you don't mind, would you point to the location of any recreational facilities that would be on this site and what would be proposed for this particular project?
Right here we're showing a pool house. We're going to have a tot lot in that vicinity and some walking trails, which are all recommended by the state. There will be an access walk to the multimodal path on 24, which will also provide pedestrian access to the commercial, which is also something that PLUS recommends.
You said there'd be a pool house. Can I assume that there will also be a pool?
Yes, sir.
Any picnic facilities or the like in this area? Do you think?
Yes. Yes, there will be some picnic areas provided.
We have designed into this project a wastewater treatment plant. Would you show the council where that is located? And while you're doing that, I'll pick out the tab number so we can describe where it is.
The treatment plant currently showed right there. It's a rendering, so if it is built, it probably not going to be that big. But the disposal area is back along in this area.
And currently, if that wastewater treatment plant site is not used for wastewater treatment, is there any immediate plan for what that would be used for in the future?
Obviously, we would look at reconfiguring the site. Maybe get better, improve the layout by using that land.
Would it also be available for any change in the housing mix in this particular project?
It might allow for that with that additional area.
Let's see here, I had one other question for you.
As a note, we would obviously not increase in density. We would just look at changing some of the layout.
Other than the county, there may be other utilities would be involved, and have those utilities been contacted and expressed a willingness to serve this particular project?
Yes, I believe they're some of the last tabs. We have letters from Verizon, Delaware Electric Co-op, Chesapeake Utilities, and Mediacom.
Gentlemen, that would conclude the presentation that Mr. Palkowitz and I are going to make on behalf of these two applications. Again, I have Mr. Palkowitz, Ms. Hearn, and the two owners' representatives here with me today to answer any questions. If you'll permit me, I will come back upon the conclusion of their questioning to just make a couple final comments, and I think that will close the proceeding from the applicant's point of view.
We're asking who questions then?
One of the five of us you have a question for, Mr. Coleman.
No, I was just wondering if they had anybody else coming up to say something already.
If, I'm sorry, were you finished, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I just, my only comment is, Dennis, it's just, you hear a lot of proposed and conceptual type of you know, offerings here, and the only thing I'm really concerned about is the C1. And you know the situation, and it amazes me that you haven't addressed it better than just asking the applicants here if they what their intent is, because it's nice and well and good, but it's not really much for us to carry to the bank with, as they say.
Understood. But, I understand the comment.
And you know the problem, because if it's zone C1, we still permit 12 units to the acre, correct? It's not been addressed. And we have a sewer study and things that says only 4 units to the acre.
Well, let me offer you this, because this may be something that you're not aware of, Mr. Cole, and that is, and perhaps Mr. Ashman will chime in if he feels it's appropriate, but there was an analysis done of what sewer capacity at the treatment plant was available for this particular project. The 440 units, wasn't it, John, or 440 EDUs is the maximum capacity that's available. The use of the project as an RPC and the commercial sites based upon the square footages that we're proposing to the council and to the commission exhaust the available EDUs for this project.
Well, let me just, I know in other parts of this county, if something gets zoned C1, the engineering department's been directed to, if it's permitted 12 units an acre and they apply for it, to give it to them. And that seems to be the case right now in Sussex County, not so much what the allocation is, but what the zoning is. That seems to take priority. So, again, I have serious problems with not being willing and being ready to offer and proffer something at this point. And I'm sure planning and zoning probably had some concern about that also.
Before the matter is put back on the agenda, if the developer does propose to modify any of the proposed conditions in the RPC area, could copies of those be made available to me?
The RPC or just, or the RPC and the C1?
The RPC is where the conditions would be. As to the C1 area, if the developer proposes to self-restrict against any commercial uses that they don't intend to put in there or against future residential, then I'd like to have proof of that too.
Okay, doing a...
If the developer elects to do that.
We will consult, and it looks like we're going to have 6-8 weeks to consider that. Thank you.
Dennis, I know our engineering department said 4 units to the acre, which you stated.
Yes.
If you do that, as you said, will you be more than 4 units? Will your EDUs be used up, or if you stick to the...
We get 440 EDUs. We're going to use them all. And our density, based upon the calculations of the RPC, is less than 4 units per acre. I should point out that a portion of this property is already zoned GR, so we're going to stay in the same density range that where we would before. And the precise number is 3.96,
I believe.
3.9 something.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
Any other questions? It's not.
Is the engineering department going to make any comments on the record today?
They submitted letters at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing supporting the application. I shouldn't say supporting, but not opposing.
Ordinance 38.
We'll offer Mr. Ashman an opportunity.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind asking him a couple questions just to clarify the sewer issue.
Before we go to Mr. Ashman, just let me say, gentlemen, in conclusion, there are proposed conditions and there are also proposed findings of fact that were included in the books. And generally, in summary, I think that the project as submitted meets all of the criterion that you would be looking for in terms of approving these two applications. And in particular, they meet the requirements of providing for the public health, safety, welfare, benefit, wasted congestion on traffic.
I was just thinking, I'm trying to get him to look it up. Delta, did the level of service change? And what was the change?
We have to let Mr. Palkerwitz answer.
Difficult to go through this book this quick to be able to ask you any real good questions. You know that, don't you? I'm sure you know that.
That is a good question. I don't know if the level of service changed or not. I will see if I can find that for you.
And I can't remember either.
All right.
I'll tell you what, if Mr. Ashman's going to come up, we'll look while he's speaking.
That'd be fine. I'd just like to hear it, because there's no way we have time to go through and look at this stuff. They ask good questions.
Good afternoon. For the record, John Ashton. Wasn't really prepared to answer questions, but
well, you
we'll
probably
see what
you,
we can do.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, the question just basically is, like, what is the sewer conditions here? I mean, is it, you said there's 400 and some, whatever is capacity for 400 and some units or EDUs, I guess?
Yeah, we've actually known about this project for a while, so we've planned on the 440 EDUs. We knew that it didn't reach above the densities that we had allotted for it.
So what did you allot for that C1 district there in EDUs?
We've actually grouped the whole thing as one project.
Right, right.
It's 440 maximum for the entire
project. No matter how they use it, you don't really care, right? Now, what happens if that gets zoned by this council C1? What is your policy up there? And then somebody buys it, these gentlemen decide they don't want to mess with it, and somebody else buys it, or even they decide to do it all residential, because now they see they can put 12 units to the acre there. What would you all do up there in the engineering department?
Well, and my thing is I want to do a little more research on that. The thing that I'm concerned about is that we've grouped it in as part of the parcel, and I'm not sure if it can be split off as a C1 and totally redeveloped as a residential. I would like to do more research in that myself.
But, okay, is the policy up there if it was zoned C1?
I believe currently if it's zoned C1, they can come back to you and ask it to change to residential.
Not us. So you would give it to them?
At this point in time, we would not, because we have not allotted it for the parcel, but I'm not sure that they couldn't object to it.
I don't know if they ever, because they don't come back to us after this. This is over.
They do it internally. It's only when you have old C1, I think, is what we've been having some difficulty with.
What do you mean old C1?
It's nothing that we rezoned. I mean, something that is C1 already, I think, is what some of the problems have been.
Well, they've already usually built those into the calculations. It's this.
In West Rehoboth.
No, they didn't, but they built it in at 6 point something units, right, thinking as commercial, yeah, right?
I believe that the new C1 or the CR1, I believe they have to come back and request to you to go.
Yeah, but this is, we don't have that ordinance. What is permitted today?
Yeah, it's passed. Yeah, they passed. This was put in prior to that.
Okay.
Is that correct, Mark?
I'm
sorry. This C1 was put in prior to the ordinance.
This application was filed before we changed the CR1, right?
Yes.
So it would be eligible to comply with the C1 requirements.
Right.
Right, they would be permitted to go get the 12 units, right? If somebody whoever owns the property would be permitted,
right,
to do that. Right, okay, that's still a problem. Right.
We only have 55 EDUs. If
no,
go
they,
outside the RPC.
But Dennis, they if it's zone C1, the engineering department will give them what the zoning calls for. That is what has been the policy currently. You're not restricting.
Just said no,
he's not right then.
Well, you don't trust your engineering department.
That is what I'd like to research. I want to make
sure
of that.
But I think what Mr. Cole's trying to say is if it's the old C1 and if it gets approved as C1,
without any kind of restrictions placed on it.
Any restrictions, you're saying that the precedent exists for them to get to modify,
yes,
it to commercial use if council approved that.
What's that? If they approve the C1 today, or in this application, right?
Correct.
It opens the door to do that, and yet we have information here that there's only been 4 units to the acre allocated for that site in this overall thing, and we would then jeopardize the integrity of our sewer system.
But we've invited the developer, if they choose
right,
to do so, to self-restrict against that.
Right. But it still sounds like some of the councilmen are unclear about how the process works.
I'm clear how it works.
No, I don't think you are.
I guess that's your opinion, Mr. Cole. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll be blessed.
Thank you, Mr. Ashman.
No problem. If you'll get back to us on that, I'd appreciate it.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Please let the record show that no one else asked to speak either in favor of or in opposition to the application.
Did you ever find the
Mr. Lang? I'm sorry. Were you finished?
Well, he was supposed to get back on the traffic count. I asked the question. He was going to research it as we were talking about the other thing. Before we closed anything, I was just trying to get that.
I didn't see it in there.
I found some tables. I'm not so sure.
I
didn't prepare the traffic report. I found some tables that are in the back of the tabbed figure 24 that show level of services for the TAS and then per McCormick Taylor who reviewed it.
Do they change from your...
Without taking some time to look at it, I can't answer that question.
It's got four different scenarios on five different tables.
It's not clear.
It changes back and forth.
Goes ahead, you know.
Yeah.
It depends on whether it's unsignalized, whether it's signalized, then you got another chart, and it gives you another location with the same scenario. So they're looking at five different locations.
Is there any way we can get this?
The site, on the site, it says if it's unsignalized and Route 24 in the site access and the year 2011, okay? So it's 5 years down the road, basically, or four. That the northbound site entrance would be F and the westbound Route 24 left would be B on weekdays, D on weekday PMs, F on Saturday midday, and then it changes to another whole scenario of charts again. It goes from F to C, F to D.
But so it's back and forth. Seasonal and time of day, basically.
Right, yeah, it right. doesn't say. Okay. One's per TIS, one's per McCormick Taylor, who recalculated
it. Does it give them today?
Then there's a signalized. No, it just gives you 2000. They're all 2011.
Right.
They're assumed 4 years down the road, so that's about time the project would be substantially underway.
Is the next page, table three?
It's 13, 14, 13 through 18, I think.
That one, so here's one says existing existing case or something, is that?
Which page are you on?
Yes.
Bottom.
Okay.
This is the information that was used, obviously, to come up with the six bullet points shown in the report.
It's safe to say that it is gone from a B's and C's, I see. Looks like down to D's and F's.
Well, if you look at McCormick Taylor's calculation rather than the TIS, you'll see a change. But you're also note that when you go signalize, it goes to
back to B's
from anywhere from a D back to a B on weekdays and F to a D on Saturday midday on that one chart on page 13. And it does similar type steps, but they're different intersections they're looking at. Okay. Each intersection.
And then the information was available to DelDOT when it proposed the six project of improvements that they're in.
They used to have synopsis sometimes.
Yeah,
and it seems that
they don't want to do a TIS. What I normally read either references the TIS requirement or it references a change from A to B or B to C or something like that.
Gentlemen, if you have no further questions, Mr. Popkiewicz and I will stand down.
Thank you very much.
Is there any reason to leave the record open?
Mr. Lank, did the commission leave the record open?
No, the commission just deferred action for further consideration.
They closed the record.
Right, record's closed.
Close the record and defer.
Well, the only thing what he has, we can ask him, right? We don't have to.
He doesn't have
the record open for that, right? He can just give us that information.
Yeah, you can let Mr. Cole know, Mr. Ashman.
Well, okay. I want you all guys.
Or copy all the council.
Yeah, put something in writing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well,
if you do close the record, that wouldn't come in, though. I mean, you could
staff,
see.
Staff? We can't ask staff?
I mean, if you close the record, that information couldn't be put into the record. You could be advised.
Okay, right. Okay.
The answer.
Okay.
Don't take that in consideration, Mr. Cole, when you make your decision.
No, you can do
I
that.
I think that's what you said.
Okay. I'll read it. But
read it and then forget about
it.
Oh, no, don't think about it. Okay, I need a motion, gentlemen, to defer on on CZ 1605 and CZ 1606. Both of them together? Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
I need one of the booklets, too.
Do all the booklets?
No, I just need one.
It's all conceptual. Why read it?
Okay.
I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
It's the same stuff you used the last night. It's all the same book. Different title.